From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh.
We have been travelling afar. We have been to the mountain. We have been to the sea. We have caught the great white bird to parts unknown, I tell you. We've fought the tyranny of distance, Mark. We have seen behind the curtain to the Wizard of Oz. We have been undressed by kings and we have seen some things that a woman ain't supposed to see.
We've been to BorderCon, but we never went to me.
We are the Dice Men Cometh. My name's Trent.
I'm Mark.
And we are back behind the desk, behind the microphone, after an extended leave of absence to talk all things BorderCon and all things board games and card games once again.
We have another action-packed show. We missed you all last week, but we're back again to talk about all things BorderCon. We're going to be talking to some of the people that were at BorderCon, relaying their experiences to us. We're going to talk about some of the games that we played and what we got up to. We are going to tell you the world's greatest board game-related love story.
And we're not even joking.
You have to hear it to believe it. It is amazing. All that and more coming up today on The Dice Men Cometh.
Now, look, if you're brand new to the show, if you haven't heard us before, it's a bit of a tradition to start the show with something that just kind of kicks us in the ass a little bit because we love metal.
And we need a kick in the ass.
Well, one of us has good taste in music. This is Down with Witch Tripper. You know the song's called Witch Tripper because that's what he says. It's Down from one of their new EPs. I could have played you a track off the new one, Mark, but it's not very good. So this is The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3. Trent and Mark here this evening. Hello. Welcome.
It's good to be back.
It is.
It's good to have played a lot of games.
We've come back from BorderCon in Albury, which we discussed last time we were behind these microphones. And look, another fantastic year, another fantastic event, very successful.
And it was great for me to experience the second one, having been the first time last year, because it was different again. There were more people.
Way more people.
I probably played less games because I had a friend with me. And, you know, did a lot of walking around the town, did a lot of drinking, did a lot of eating, and played a lot of games and met a lot of new people.
Yeah.
And it's great to... I sat down and played games with people that I'd played games with last year, and it was great to just say, hey, remember me? Yeah, I remember you. Let's sit down and play a game. Did that a few times, met some new people, played games with some new people. It was just a fantastic event, went so smoothly. You couldn't ask for any more, and apart from the fact that, you know, they got so big, they have to go to a new venue next year because it's become massive.
Yeah, and look, we're going to be playing you some audio that we recorded at BorderCon through the show tonight, and I know we've picked up some new subscribers as a part of that.
So welcome!
That's fantastic, yes. What we always do to start the show off is we just talk about what we've been playing lately, which is a huge list. So we've decided to do Mark's list this week, and we'll talk about the games I played at BorderCon next week. Mark, what have you been playing lately at BorderCon, baby?
Trent, firstly, how many games did you play at BorderCon?
Quite a few. I don't know.
In terms of numbers?
What? Is it a contest?
It's a game, of course. Look, I played 12 games,
I've got them here,
12 individual games.
Tuesday, Thursday, sleepy, dozy. 16.
There you go. I played 12. One of them I played three times. So that was actually 15 games.
Right.
Eight of which were new to me.
How many games did you buy? How many games did you come home with?
Yeah,
any?
I got one from a math trade. I got an expansion for Railways of the World, Railways of England and Wales.
A train game. Gee, that sounds like fun.
Got through.
You know my feelings on train games.
Yes, I do. And I'm going to come to that later. And I was lucky enough to win in the fantastic charity raffle, Leonardo da Vinci.
This is the second year in a row at BorderCon that you've won prizes in the raffle. It makes me sick.
Hey, what can I say?
How many tickets did you actually buy?
$50 worth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a great cause.
It is.
It's a great cause.
Yep. And we've got audio. We've actually got audio of you winning and me gnashing my teeth. What have you been playing? Come on,
okay,
some of the games.
Look, some of the games. Splendor We talked about it as one of the Spiel des Jahres nominees, and I think I actually bagged it out when I talked about it. It looked pretty dull.
We were quite suspicious.
I played
suspicious.
It three times with three different groups, and I really enjoyed it. It was probably almost the hit of BorderCon. I saw it played so many times.
That is a great, great little game.
I even believe that one of us, who isn't me, bought a copy.
We stand corrected on our opinion of Splendor.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was great. Another one that I'd been wanting to try but had never seen around, Glory to Rome, a great old, slightly older card game that's been rejuvenated.
Yeah, now this is interesting because everyone's always praised Glory to Rome for its mechanics, but it had goofy, cartoony artwork, so it was re-released in a Kickstarter with sleek black packaging.
Yeah, really minimalist art. Now, I played the geeky, sort of strange-looking one. But, you know, look, it takes a couple of minutes to get your head past that. It was a really great game, and by the same designer, Carl Chudik, I think his name is, who made Innovations, which is one of my favourite games, has a lot similar to that game, but a lot different. It was really, really interesting. I really enjoyed it. Hanabi, the winner of the Spiel des Jahres from the previous year.
What
a hilarious game that was.
Okay, so basically you're holding, we won't go fully into it right now, but you're basically holding your cards in reverse. Everybody else can see what you're holding, but of course you can't. You've got to give each other clues, maybe. If ever there was a game designed to make you break up with your girlfriend or hate your friends, it's Hanabi. What a fantastic little nasty card game.
And the whole unwritten rules and how men and women in particular have different understandings of what the unwritten rules of that game were was absolutely here.
I was ready to fly home in the middle of that game of Hanabi. I was furious.
Look, another one. So funny. Last year in the math trade, I picked up a game called Evolution Origin of Species. I'd heard a lot of good things about it. I got it home. I opened it up. It was basically a deck of cards and some little cardboard chits. And I sort of went, and I never took it out of the box. And this year, someone else had it, a good friend of the show, Joanna, and played it, really, really liked it. Now I can't wait to get my copy out.
The Kickstarter.
And this is the one that's been kickstarted by
Queen Games.
North Star Games, Party Games, that's, you know, just gone berserk and got 14 gazillion percent overfunded or something. And looks really great. But this was the sort of the minimalist copy. Yeah. But it's great. An interesting one that I hadn't come across, and it's quite new, Nosferatu, which is a sort of a werewolfy group type game.
Oh, yes, I was indisposed for this particular part of the
evening.
Yes,
you were. You had a little bit of a tummy upset.
I don't think we need to talk about that.
We probably shouldn't, because some of our listeners might be eating. And, you know, look, trouser accidents are not something that should be discussed on radio.
Suffice to say that it passed.
Anyway, Nosferatu, obviously vampire, Dracula-themed.
Hidden roles?
Yeah, well, you've got one guy plays Renfield, who's like the assistant to Dracula, and he's also like the moderator. But in this case, the moderator is part of the game, which is great. And then the other players are hunters and Dracula. So the hunters are trying to work out who Dracula is and kill him, and Renfield is trying to keep Dracula hidden and kill off the hunters. Really interesting mechanic. It was only made last year. I think it plays up to 10, okay. And there's no player elimination, which is, you know, one of the things I really like in my large group games. So it worked really well.
So is this a similar sort of slot to something like Werewolf or Resistance, but
yeah,
it sounds
absolutely.
Maybe a little bit better?
Yeah, well, look, I liked it. It was quite quick.
Yeah.
Easy to get your head around because the moderator is also part of the game.
Yeah,
it's fun. Someone's not missing out on the action like the moderator does with Werewolf. So, look, I think it worked really well. I'd like to get a copy of
it. Sounds good.
Look, one that was a surprise hit, and I'd never heard of it before, a game called Cheeky Monkey. Now, I have to say, look, the packaging is part of the beauty of this game. Originally designed in 2007 by the good Dr. Rainer Knizia, who's known for his mathematical type games.
This is the game where you're pulling tiles out of a monkey's butt.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's no sort of sensitive way of putting it.
No, you're right. Yeah. In this version, and it's beautiful, you've got this plush monkey bag. You're reaching into the monkey's, it's actually his back, but you're reaching into the monkey's back, pulling out little
what?
Like poker chips.
Oh, sorry, right, yes.
With different animals on them, and you've got a different distribution of the different types of animals, and you've got these sort of like drink coasters that are out in the middle that tell you the distribution. And there's a push-your-luck element where if you pull out an animal that's the same as what's on the top of the other person's pile of chips,
right,
you stop. But if you keep pulling and you don't, you keep going. And if you pull out one, Hang on, I'm confused now. No, if you pull out one that's the same as what someone else has got in their pile, you get to steal theirs.
Just go back to where you're pushing your luck by pulling tiles out of a monkey's butt. Because you lost me there.
Anyway, look, the packaging on this version, this is the third edition by Griffin Games, released in 2012. I've seen it's available in the US, but I'd love to get a copy because the bag is beautiful. It's like a 1.5-foot tall monkey with tiles up his butt, and it's absolutely beautiful. Look, I pulled out... We had a few drinks one night and we pulled out Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, God.
And for me, I have to say now, that game is dead to me.
Yeah, look, Cards Against Humanity, we've talked about this before. It sets out to be the world's most offensive game. It succeeds in that goal admirably. And we just don't really particularly feel the need to play it that much more.
Yeah, look, I think we've probably played it twice where we played through almost the whole deck. And yeah. It's like, the jokes are gone.
Yep.
That's it. However, I have discovered in my my hours and hours of research for this show, I have discovered an alternative.
Oh, good.
It's a re-implementation of Cards Against Humanity called A Game for Good Christians. Now, it runs very similar to Cards Against Humanity, and you have...
Is it with the same deck?
No. Okay. So you have answer cards, which are called canon cards, and you have someone who's the judge, but in this game they're called the Pharisee. And so the Pharisee presents a question card such as, for Lent, I'm giving up blank. Or, what do good Christians wait until marriage for? King Solomon needed so many women because he was overcompensating for blank. Loving your neighbour as yourself includes... When good Christians don't understand something in the Old Testament, they simply add Jesus and blank. What is known to make the baby Jesus cry? Anyway, all these sort of questions. And then the players have these canon cards which have answers, which they play as blank. So some of the answers include the forbidden fruit, Noah's awkward sexual encounter with his son, Levitical sex ban,
okay.
David carrying a warm sack of 200 foreskins, a naked boy running through Gethsemane, so, midgets in trees, so the voice of God knocking you off your ass, on your ass.
Just before we...
And they all have the biblical references, the verse numbers and everything.
I assume this is all Old Testament and perhaps some apocryphal material before we alienate any Christian members of our audience.
Look, there's a slightly stoned Paul... There's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. There's making stupid life choices and blaming them on Philippians.
Well, that sounds about as much fun as Cards Against Humanity, and I plan to play that almost as much as I'll play Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, look, a couple more. Snowdonia, The Great Dalmoody came out, a great dinner time game, but, when your friend gets sick and has to go away to go to the toilet, it sort of spoils it a bit. Love Letter came out. As I said, Splendor, even an old favourite, Stone Age, had a great time, met some fantastic people. Thank you to all those people who played games with me and who lent me their games in particular. It was a ball.
It was a very, very fun and crowded weekend. You'll hear how crowded next on The Dice Man Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, continuing our coverage of BorderCon 2014. Edge Radio, 99.3 FM with the Dice Man Cometh, Trent and Mark, and we're talking BorderCon 2014. We have returned from Aubrey. We are wiser. We are sorer. We are poorer.
We are lighter.
And...
Well, some of us are.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I was feeling a little bit under the weather, and you'll hear exactly how under the weather in just a moment with some of this audio I've recorded. You'll also hear a very, very crowded room. Organiser Neil Thompson is in here as well, and we talked to some people who are at their first BorderCon as well.
It is day 2 of BorderCon 2014 in Aubrey, Wodonga. Things kicked off at 4 o'clock yesterday evening. I'm 2 games in, caught up with a bunch of old friends, and I'm frightfully concerned that I'm passing on this cold to all and sundry. But then, I suppose we are all here to share. Now, I'm thinking about breakfast. I'm thinking about coffee. I'm thinking about a day of games, and I'm also thinking about getting out of bed. All right. Hello, Aubrey. this place, the Hume Inn. It's sort of like kind of straight out of your childhood from 1970s or 1980s Australia. It's long and low and flat and dated architecture. There is a swimming pool too, which is testament to the fact that I guess it does get hot here at least some of the time, although it certainly isn't right now. And all in all, the whole place looks like it has seen better days. Yeah. Right, here we go. So we haven't missed breakfast. Breakfast is on. Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Trent. How are you going?
Just fantastic.
We're going well. We've had coffee. We've had pastries.
How are you going?
Dean.
Dean, right. Geelong. Trent. Yeah, Geelong, right.
We're just trying to work out what game we play. Dean was thinking it was Village. Did we learn Village here last year?
I honestly can't recall.
Yeah.
How's your room?
And the spa is a bit of a squeeze.
You got a spa?
Yeah, I can only get one foot in.
It's a foot spa.
I can only get one foot in at a time.
And it's about this,
it's that high, and you push the plug down, and it's got a tap.
Also known as a sink.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, good. Thank
like
you.
I said, the spa leaves
Thank you, I'm a little bit slow.
It's a bit to be desired. Yeah.
Okay, we're here with Ben. This is your first BorderCon. Can you describe the scene to me, please?
It is a scene of horror. There are gamers strewn from left to right, almost as if a great mythic creature has walked into a crowd of normal people, his giant hammer held aloft, and just laid waste, and nerds and geeks came with his blows.
You don't get out an awful lot, do you,
mate? No, I do not.
No, all right, no, really, describe the scene. How many, well, we've got, 100 people in this room, maybe more?
Maybe 150 at a quick glance. Everyone seems to be enjoying themselves. Almost every table of probably 18 to 20 active tables with at least 5 players on.
It's extremely noisy in here. It is difficult when you're playing. The noise does sort of get on your tits a little bit. That's a round of luchador Mexican wrestling dice in the background. We're going to have more about that later. What have you played so far, Ben?
I got in last night with some Village. I amazingly managed to win somehow. First game. And about halfway through, I thought, this is too hard. I'm too tired. I can't deal with this. And somehow I won. So that's been my strategy ever since. And the only other thing that comes to mind was I played Snowdonia. It's a Welsh train building game.
Trains. Okay, well, I'm sorry, we have to stop talking now. Yeah. Okay, so we're here with Neil, one of the organisers of BorderCon 2014 in Albury. Mate, congratulations, great turnout.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, it's been staggering this year. Yeah. In fact, probably too big, but we cram them in, it's alright.
I was going to say, you've got, 150 people in this room?
Yeah, I'd say 150, 160, I'd say, yeah.
Okay, and what's the fire hazard sort of safety rating for this room, Neil, just quietly?
You'd need to check the rule book to fire escape rescue. I'm not sure, to be honest.
we are looking at an alternative venue for 2015, because this thing just keeps growing, yeah?
I've actually just come back from a meeting, and I think I might have secured a place that would hold 1.5 to 2 times this in a wedding-style quality convention centre.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that if my guys come on board, we can actually tell everyone tomorrow lunchtime at the raffle.
Yeah.
So it could be some big news.
Okay, yeah, well, watch this space. And look, speaking of the raffle, raising some funds for charity this year. The charity is?
The charity is the Haemophilia Association of Australia. Yep. So if you're not familiar, haemophilia is a condition where the blood doesn't clot. So if you get a cut or a nick, you can basically bleed to death if you're unaware of it. So we raised $2,500 last year. We've got a massive prize table this year, thanks to a few very
huge.
It is a massive table. Hoping to raise over $3,000 this year.
Right. Neil, I know you're feeling under the weather, mate, so well done, and congratulations on another successful year.
No worries. Cheers, mate. Thanks for coming.
So Zombie Carl is here, and we have just played Terra Mystica, which is one of the big games that I had on my list to knock over this weekend at BorderCon. Mate, how was that for you?
It was a big game. That was fantastic. I somehow pulled off the win. I think it must have been.
I know. Quite, yeah, a little bit, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. A little bit of help from our friend Joe, But yeah, look, that is a big game. There's so much going on. That's what, one of the things I love about Euros, pure Euros. I know you're not a big Euro man.
Would you call that a Euro?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it's all about resource management, isn't it? It's all making sure you've got the right resources to, at the right time, so you can use them in the right way.
Yeah, but it's also area control, and there's this weird sort of fantasy skin over it where you're playing different races, competing for territory. Look, it's definitely been one of the more popular games to come out of Essen over the past couple of years, and one of the more sort of high-end, heavy, complex ones, which is why we've never played it at home, because, of course, the bloke who owns it in Hobart is John, who's, let's face it, pretty terrible at explaining stuff. I mean, I think we can put that out there. I'd say that to his face. I'm going to say it right now on the radio.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Look, it is high-end, it is heavy, but it's not that long. What was it, 2 hours?
Yeah, and that's with five players.
Yeah.
And I must say, it really made a difference that we had effective explanation going on. She didn't want to come on the radio to talk, but I've got to thank Josephat for teaching us Terra Mystica, because that's a game I now want to go back to.
Big
and
thanks.
Kick John's ass.
A big thanks to Joe. I'm definitely going to be pushing John to play this one with me next time, yeah, for sure.
Mark, how's your BorderCon going?
Oh, Trent, it's going really great. I've played some really interesting games.
You played Splendor.
So I've now played one of the three nominees for the Spiel des Jahres. It was actually really good. Easy to pick up. I can see why they've nominated. Easy to pick up. Quick to play. Look, it was late at night, but I was able to wrap my head around it. Unfortunately, I got my backside handed to me by some stranger I'd never met before, but hey, it was fun.
I got my hands on a copy of Galaxy Trucker,
which was
a game I've only played once before, and it's just hilarious, because you're assembling these jalopy space trucks, funnily enough, and trying to deliver crap and ward off smugglers and asteroids, and there's just nothing funnier than scrambling to build that spaceship under pressure, under a time limit, and having it all just fall apart on you.
I was going to say, one of the funniest games I've ever played is watching a friend whose massive spaceship just turned into like two guys riding in a tin can through space, because the rest of it just peeled off from asteroids.
Yeah. We're recording this in the booth for Unhalf Bricking Games, who's the retailer who's here at BorderCon. And he's got a copy of the big box of Galaxy Trucker. How much do you think he's selling that for?
Look, it's going to have to be $150.
Because you've got this. You've got this game and you never bring it to Hogs. I never play it with you.
I'm not good at explaining it, which is my usual excuse.
Would you think about selling your copy to me?
Yeah, absolutely. $150 probably sounds fair.
No. Because then if I get your copy for cheap, I can buy a different expansion for less.
Trent, I'd be happy to sell it to you. Let's talk about a price later.
Although the big box is nice too. Maybe I should ask Julian how much it is.
Julian!
How much would you give it to me for?
That's going to be at least $150. Mm. Maybe $180. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. Look, the other game I played today, which was interesting, called Snowdonia. Building a railroad. Now, it's not a train game.
It's a friggin' train game.
It's not a train
game. If it's got a railroad in it, how is it not a train game?
You're building a railway. Like, part of what you're doing is clearing away rubble to lay the railway. And you've got to build stations. You've got to lay some track. It was fun. I don't think I even heard of it before, but it was really fun. And what about you? What have you been playing? What's your latest big news?
Terra Mystica.
Oh.
And the fact that I actually understood it.
And how long did it take?
Only about 2 hours.
No.
Yeah.
You didn't check your watch.
No. Oh, really?
I was just having a chat with Carl, Zombie Carl, who actually won that game of Terra Mystica. He said the same to me. Oh, yeah, it only took 2 hours. I said, what time did you start? He said, oh, no, it was about 1 o'clock or something. I said, look what time it is, Carl. Oh, 5:30. That game actually took 4 hours, Trent. You played it for 4 hours.
Mark, we're back in the studio now, and I'm still not sure whether or not to believe you that it took 4 hours.
You guys could not keep track of the time at all, which is a good sign. It means you were enjoying it so much, it didn't bother you to sit there for 4 hours.
We'll hear more from BorderCon 2014 in a moment on The Dice Man Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, The Dice Men Cometh. You're here with Trent and Mark. That was The High Lows, a Tassie band with Every Moment. And before that, The Wine Dark Sea with a lovely track called Suitcase. We are going back to BorderCon to hear how Trent the Master, who took a special game to Bordercon to teach a few people and how the disciples kicked his butt.
Okay, this is a little embarrassing. I've brought my favourite game to Bordercon, Warrior Knights. I've been begging and pleading to try and get a bunch of people to play with me. Zombie Carl has joined us. We've got Ben here and young Jared, who has, I'm afraid to say, just swept the floor with us. Congratulations, Jared.
Thanks a lot.
So this is your first time playing Warrior Knights. I've taught you the game, obviously. You've done a fantastic job doing that because you've just cleaned us up completely. What's your secret?
I think it's most important in this game to hold the most territory and try to not give up any ground.
Okay, so you've just taken us apart methodically, calmly, coolly. Is this your approach with everything? Are you this mercenary all the time?
I try to be calm in strategy games, but...
You've succeeded.
But sometimes other games can tend to get a bit crazier, I guess.
Yeah. It's an epic game. I call it more Game of Thrones than Game of Thrones. Do you think that's fair? It's fairly epic.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. The Game of Thrones board game is a bit much more like diplomacy, I guess. This actually has a lot more strategy and battles and all those kind of things, I think.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it maybe a bit of a longer game because we only got through maybe 4 rounds.
Mm. Could do. I think we got this done in just a little under 2.5 hours, I think. And look, Jared, just to add insult to injury... Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
How old are you?
So I'm 24.
Okay, usual pleasantries. We love how you travel from so far and wide. We really appreciate the community coming together as they do every year for Bordercon, when there are so many other great events around the country as well. So thank you very much for that. With that last ticket sale, we just broke the record for the charity raffle. We've just got over $3,000 this year. So... Okay, to make it as fast as we can this year, not to drag on too long, we're going to go 5 names at a time, and they've got to get their choices in the order they're drawn. So, good luck to everyone. First up, we have Rachel G.
Bloody bet that Mark's going to win something.
Peter M. Anton.
Hey.
And Mark from Tassie.
Oh, that'll be bloody right.
Here he comes. What did you get?
Oh, look, I got this Euro game. I'm so excited. It's a Euro game. Leonardo da Vinci.
Roger from Melbourne. Roger.
Oh, it's just got kits and cards and stuff. You're going to hate it, Trent. You're going to hate it.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. Couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. Yeah,
thank you, mate. Thank you.
We are joined this evening by the lovely Merrin, who's having a great Bordercon. How many times have you been to this event, Merrin?
This is my 4th year.
And you were telling me earlier you haven't really been gaming that much?
Yeah, so I started gaming 4 years ago when I met my partner who got me into gaming.
Right, so that's 0 to 100 in very little flat. What is the appeal of the hobby for you? Why has it got its hooks into you?
So for me, gaming is something that doesn't penalise you for being a smart chick. So... I like that there's a lot of trash talk without it ever getting seriously nasty, so you can have lots of fun. And I like the fact that you can use your brain and just be absorbed in something fun that can take, you know, from 10 to 5 hours and you still don't realise how much time has passed.
Now, look, I don't want to sort of harp on about a stereotype, but you say, yeah, it doesn't penalise you for being a smart chick, and, of course, women are underrepresented in the hobby. Can you put that down to anything in particular, or do you have any comment to make around that, or around the way men are when they hang out with other men and maybe they're not being that welcoming? Is that the problem?
No, I don't think it's that. I think there are lots of hobbies that have more gender bias in them than gaming does. I think the key thing with gaming is just people knowing about it and being willing to participate and put aside some of the perceptions or stereotypes they have about gaming and that idea of it being a childish thing and taking that into it being something that you can be childlike, you can have fun, you can play, but still use the experience and the intelligence and the things that you've learned in applying a strategy to, you know, a make-believe or a you know, set-up environment.
All right, enough serious talk. Tell us about your husband. Because he got you into
not
all...
Yet, not yet a husband.
Oh, not yet a husband. All right.
Not yet a husband.
Okay.
Fiancé.
But, look, what got us talking, though, is his proposal to you. What's the story?
So Terry likes to plan and do exciting events. So my first year at BorderCon was the year I turned 40, and he worked with a secret society, the Geek Masons, to test me to see if I was, you know, worthy. And so every day for a month I had challenges. And
Hang on. What kind of challenges are we talking
so
about?
So I would receive an image of a game component and I had to identify which game it was from. There were book references, there were movie references. In fact, there was a musical reference to in Buffy, so referencing the musical episode. So I just got a sound bite in the mail that I had to work out what it was. And there was one that involved ciphers, involved ringing different members of my family who then gave me clues based on other things that I'd worked out. It was that person I had to contact. It was full on.
This man obviously cares.
Yes, he likes to make events. So we decided we're just going to go away for the weekend. And Terry had put a stack of games on the table and said, you know, let's take these games. Is there anything there you don't want to play? And I'd had one of the games, Last Wheel. I'd had a bad experience playing. And I said, oh, you can put that away. He said, no, I want to play it. And I said, okay, we'll play it then. If it's important, then that's what we'll do. So we sat down to play, and he kept fiddling with the phone, and with the camera. And we have a bit of a joke that Terry likes to consider his game turns now. He doesn't have AP in the true sense, but he is very considered, and I'm not. And
he's slow. Let's just call it what it is. He's slow.
Well, by comparison, yes. But to be fair, he does win a lot more than I do. So, you know, being considered is not necessarily a bad thing. I was paying him out something fierce about taking too long to have his turn because he kept fiddling with the camera.
Yeah.
And then he played the cards on me in the game. So it turns out he had worked with the game designer from Czech Games and the graphic designer, and he'd actually put us in the game.
What?
And he thematically played these cards on me to win the game.
Oh, my God. So I'm looking at the cards. They look exactly like they're from Last Will.
It's, well, they are. They were thrown in on the end of the Japanese print run. We have 300 copies of these cards.
That's love. That's incredible.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna take a picture of these cards and stick them up on Facebook. Yeah. You've got a good catch there, I think.
Yeah, we do. And it probably says a lot that when he played the cards, and he was very proud of himself, and so I've looked at them, not recognised them, done a double take on. Of course. Oh, my God, how did you do this? And about 15 minutes later, he's gone, so I've got this ring. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So
just as well, really, after all that.
Yeah. That's right. So that was the extraordinarily romantic and amazing thing that he did.
So all good things come to an end. Time to pack up. Reflections, Mark, on our second BorderCon experience for 2004. Well, no, it's not our second BorderCon in 2000. You know what I'm saying.
It's the second time we've been here in the history of BorderCons. Look, I think it's been really great. It's definitely outgrown this venue. There are quite a few more people here than last year.
It's really squishy in there, and frankly, it's a fire safety hazard, really, because if there was some kind of stampede, then all the fat people would get stuck in those doors and all the skinny people would die a horrible death behind them.
It's very social. Clearly what I see here is many people know each other and have been gaming together for years, and it's probably this is the one time of the year they do game with those people because they only see them here, which I really enjoy. I love the fact that you can pretty much walk up to someone that you've never met before and say, hey, is this your game? Can I borrow it? And they just smile at you and say, go for it, most of them.
It's almost a feeling like somehow the hobby is
actually not that much of a fringe activity anymore. I mean, maybe it's just critical mass all in the one spot, but it almost feels like it. Like, these are normal people with normal families and normal lives. It almost feels like a mainstream crowd, a large element of it anyway.
Yeah, look, the thing is, there's not huge numbers of 20-something obese young men who smell.
Yeah, I mean, there are that. Couple, yeah, that's a well-represented demographic, but...
Yeah, but look, there's a lot of couples here. There's a lot of women here. You know, you'd say it's probably maybe not quite 50%, but say 40% women, which I've been quite surprised at. But just the friendliness of people, you know, you see someone with a game and you say, oh, would you teach that? And it's like they sit it down, they set it up and off they go. You know, being taught games by strangers, it's just a really caring, sharing community.
And a big one too, increasingly big, and that's why they're moving the venue 50 metres up the road to the Best Western Hotel for 2015, which sounds like a great move. You've outgrown one venue and moving on to the next.
Yeah, brilliant. I think that it's obviously a new chapter for them, I think, because this is 10 or 11 years, or is it 14 years? It's something in the vicinity of that. And, you know, look, here we are recording this in one of these rooms. We're having to stand cheek to cheek because there's not much space in here. So,
but it is cozy, boys and girls. It's very cozy.
It has kept us warm over these cold nights, that's for sure. It's going to be fantastic. Look, I'd say to all you people out there who haven't experienced a BorderCon, put it in your diary. Queen's Birthday long weekend, it's easy to remember. 2015, BorderCon at the Best Western in Albury. I think it's going to be a goer.
And boy, I can't wait to find out what that game you won, Leonardo da Vinci, is like. I'm really, really excited about that.
I think it's going to be great. I'll research it when I get home. I'll learn it. I'll roll it out. Yeah, it looks very Euro.
I love that.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We're going to come back with just the last bit of the wrap-up with the show. But, of course, on the way to BorderCon, we crossed the border.
Crossing the borders from BorderCon. The cheesiest intro ever from the mind of Mark Rickards, one half of the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. And I did say earlier in the show that one of us had decent musical taste. The other one played that song, which was from Ice House's first album, back when they were called Flowers, from 1880.
Tickety Boo.
Yeah.
The album was called Ice House.
That's awful. Why did you do that to us?
Because it was a choice between that, Little River Band Down on the Border, or Midnight Oil.
The John Farnham period of the Little River Band. We all remember that.
Or Midnight Oil, Back on the Borderline.
Okay, that's at least a good song from the former member for Kingsford Smith.
Yes.
So, look, we've been talking BorderCon, of course, and thanks to everybody at BorderCon for making us feel welcome. If all that sounds like fun to you...
And it sure did sound like fun to me.
Then there's more of these kinds of events coming up on the board gaming calendar around the country, most notably in Canberra, the next big get-together on the calendar is WinterCon.
WinterCon, yeah. Yep. Brought to you by the people who do CanCon, the fabulous one in January. WinterCon is the 12th and 13th of July, Saturday and Sunday. Runs from 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Those guys have been running board game conventions now for quite some time, so I hear they run a really professional show. So that's in July. Then, if you haven't had enough board games, make your way south.
That's right.
To the one and only 4th annual Hobart Winter Games Fest, presented by yours truly, and him truly, us truly, and the Hobart Games Society.
And it's part of Devil Island Con this year, which has been put together with the help of our friendly local game store, Area 52, the 9th and the 10th of August. Again, this is at the local Best Western Hotel. We've got an accommodation deal sorted out. The website to get all the deets for Hobart Winter Games Fest is...
hogs.org.au.
And then all attention turns to Adelaide in September for Concentric Games. And this is another little gaming event that they've been trying to sort of, you know, build up over the past couple of years. It was held in a hotel last year that was, all the rooms were in old train carriages.
Train carriages, yeah, in the Barossa Valley. And so, in fact, I think it's been that way for quite a few years, so it's interesting now they've moved.
To somewhere livable, I understand. specifically at the Burnside Community Centre, which is only about 15 minutes out from the CBD of Adelaide. Accommodation options are to come on their Facebook page.
I think if you look in Fruville, that's a suburb of Adelaide, there's some accommodation there. That's on the 27th and 28th of September. If you want to get along to that and you're planning on flying in, I'd book soon. That is the first weekend of the South Australian and the Victorian school holidays, and it's the weekend of the AFL Grand Final.
Oh, yes.
So we're doing
good reason
this,
to get out of Victoria.
We're doing this show from Hobart, which means we don't have direct flights to Adelaide, unfortunately. So we've got to go through Melbourne, so there is a little bit of cost with that, but Concentric. That's one I'm definitely going to try and get to because I know the guys are working hard to build that up and get it on the national scene.
There are just a whole bunch of board game conventions coming up soon, later in the year. PAX even. PAX Oz in Melbourne. You'll hear more about that further in the year. But look, we run out of time.
Yeah, and listen, if there's an event, even if it's a small one, that you want us to talk about, just contact us, all right? Dice Men Cometh on the Facebook page. Just hit us up and have a chat and we'll get you on.
Look, I've also, I did post on the Facebook page for people to post up their favourite moments of BorderCon, what they love, the games they played, the people they met. So, you know, we really would love to keep this conversation going. It's great that the community gets together like that. It was such a friendly place. Big shout out to all the people we met there. We had the best time. And thank you so much. We're going to be with you again next week.
So just to make it clear, I did play more games than you. I played 16 games at BorderCon, and you played how many was it again?
15.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure it was that many?
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm happy. I'm happy with that result.
Okay. Anyway, next week we're going to hear about what Trent played at BorderCon. We're going to hear from Julian from Unhalf Bricking Games. Can have more talk about BorderCon, more games fun. In the meantime, we are Trent and Mark, the Dice Men Cometh, and you're with Edge Radio 99.3. And we're going to leave you with the Evening Dolls, another Tassie band. See you next week.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.